I greet you, brothers, in the wonderful name, brothers and sisters, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for an opportunity to come again as a congregation to hear the gospel preached to us. For the announcement, only the collection. The first collection is for the diaconal work, and the second collection for the sending, for the mission work. So the first one for the diaconal work, and then the second one for the mission work. After the blessing and the greeting and the blessing, we sing from Psalm 146. There we sing verse 1 and 3. Psalm 146, verse 1 and 3, as a response to the blessing of the Lord. Shall we stand and receive the blessing? I look up to the mountains, where does my help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Receive the blessing. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us assemble in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father because of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we come before you again this day. We thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for the call to come together again that we might hear your word. Lord, we pray that you might open our hearts as your word is preached, that you can help us, O Lord, to can hear you speaking to our lives. Lord, we thank you for all your grace, all your mercies upon our life. And we pray, O Lord, that you might put sin far away from us, that you might fill us with your grace. And we pray, O Lord, believing that your word is like a double-edged sword, Lord, that it doesn't go out without doing the work. Thus, O Lord, we pray that you might humble us to listen, O Lord. Humble us, O Lord, to be encouraged. And as we listen, that we might come before you with open hearts. In Christ we pray, giving glory, giving praise to you, O Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this evening, or this afternoon, it's Genesis 32. Genesis 32 is our scripture reading. I've asked one of the brothers to can lead us in reading God's word. Genesis 32, we read God's word. And after the reading of the word, we also sing Psalm 147, verse 4. Psalm 147, verse 4, after the reading of God's word.
Jakob het ook verder gereis en die engel van God het hom ontmoet. Toe hy hulle sien, sê Jakob, dit is die leer van God. En hy het die plek Mahanaim genoem. En Jakob het boodskappers uitgestuur voor hom uit na sy broer Esau in die land Seir, die landstreek van Edom. En aan hulle bevel gegee met die woorde, so moet julle aan my heer aan Esau sê, so sê Jakob, uw dienaar, ek het as vreemdeling vertoef by Laban en daar geblei tot nou toe. En ek het beeste en esels, kleinvee en slawe en slavinne verwerf. En my Heer dit laat weet, sodat ek guns mag vind in die oë. En die boodskappers het na Jakob teruggekom en gesê, ons het u broer Esau, by u broer Esau gekom, en hy trek u alreeds tegemoet en 400 man saam met hom. Toe Jakob baie bevrees en benoud geword, en het vir die mense wat by hom was, sowel as die kleinvee en die beeste, en kamele in twee laars verdeel. Want hy het gedink, as Esau aan die een laar afkom en dit verslaan, sal die laar wat oorbly vry raak. En Jakob het gesê, o God van my vader Abraham en God van my vader Isaac, o Heere wat my beveel het, gaan terug na jou land en na jou familie, en ek sal aan jou goed doen. En ek is te gering vir al die gunste en al die trou wat u aan u knecht bewys het. Want ek het met my staf oor hierdie Jordaan getrek en nou twee laars geword. Red my toch uit die hand van my broer, uit die hand van Esau, want ek is bang vir hom, dat hy sal kom en my doodslaan, die moeder saam met die kinders. U het toch self gesê, ek sal sekerlik aan jou goed doen, en jou nageslag maak soos die sand van die see, wat vanweer die menigte nie getel kan word nie. En hy die nacht daar oorgeblei, en van wat in sy besit was, een geskenk geneem vir sy broer Esau. 200 bokoeie en 20 bokke, 200 skaapoeie en 20 ramme, 30 kameelkoeie, wat in die melk was, met hulle kalfies, 40 koeie en 10 bulle, 20 eselinne en 10 jong esels. En hy het hulle aan sy dienaars afgegee, elke trop afgesonderlik, en sy dienaars gesê, trek voor my uit en laat 'n plek oop tussen die trop en trop. Daarom gee hy aan die eerste een bevel en sê, as my broer Esau jou teekom en jou vra, aan wie behoort jy en waarheen gaan jy en wie sin is die goed daar voor jou? Dan moet jy antwoord, u dien aan Jakob sin. Dis 'n geskenk wat hy aan my heer Esau stuur. En kyk, hy self kom ook agter ons aan. En het ook bevel gegee aan die tweede en aan die derde en aan almal wat agter die troppe geloop het en gesê, net so moet julle Esau antwoord as julle hom kry. Julle moet sê, kyk, ook u dienaar Jakob kom agter ons aan. Want hy het gedink, laat ek hom versoen met die geskenk wat voor my uitgaan en daarna sy aangesig sien, miskien sal hy my in guns aanneem. So het die geskenke dan voor hom uitgegaan, maar hy self het die nag in die laar gebly. En hy het dieselfde nag opgestaan en sy twee vroue en sy twee slavinne en sy 11 kinders geneem en deur die drif van die Jabok gekry. Hy het hulle geneem en hulle deur die rivier laat trek, ook laat deurtrek wat aan hom behoort het. Maar Jakob het alleen agtergebly. En 'n man het met hom gewors tot dagbreek. En toe hy sien dat hy hom nie kon oorwin nie, slaan hy hom op die heupbeen, sodat die heupbeen van Jakob uit lid geraak het in die worsteling met hom. Toe sê hy, laat my gaan, want die dag het gebreek. Maar hy het geantwoord, ek sal u nie laat gaan nie, tensy dat u my seën. En het gevra, en hy vra hom, hoe is jou naam? En antwoord Jakob. Toe sê hy, jy sal nie meer Jakob genoem word nie, maar Israel, want jy het geworstel met God en met die mense en het oorwin. Daarop vra Jakob en sê, maak toch jou naam bekend. En het geantwoord, waarom vra jy nog na my naam? En het hom daar geseën. Toe noem Jakob die plek Pniel, want hy het gesê, ek het God gesien van aangesig tot aangesig, en toch is my lewe gered. En die son het vir hom opgegaan, net toe hy Pniel verby was, en hy was mank aan sy heup. Daarom eet die kinders van Israel die heupsteening, wat aan die heupbeen is, tot vandag toe nie, omdat hy Jakob op die heupbeen aan sy heupsteening geslaan het.
Our text this afternoon is Genesis 32, then verse 24 until verse 30. Verse 24 until verse 30. I'm going to read until verse 31, also include that. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. And also verse 31, "The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. My son enjoys when I give people an opportunity to eat peppermints. So he wants me to say that. So I give you an opportunity for peppermints. After the preaching of the word, we sing hymn number 24, and there we sing verse 3 and 5, hymn 24, verse 3 and 5 as a response to the preaching of God's word. By way of introduction, in 2012, the winds of Hurricane Isaac were more powerful than the typical hurricane. So forceful were the winds that caused the Mississippi River to flow almost twice as fast in the opposite direction for 24 hours. Can you imagine that? The river flowing twice as fast, opposite direction, for 24 hours. The last time that happened was 7 years earlier during Hurricane Katrina. Maybe I need also to update my information. I don't know what happened also during Hurricane Milton, but it was also a very powerful storm. But why this example? Perhaps there are areas of your life that have been flowing in a sinful direction for a long time. Maybe you have done all you can to reverse the flow with no avail. You are left wondering how to change. We all have areas of our lives that need a turnaround. How can the flow be reversed? The flow can be reversed when the powerful, sanctifying gust of the Holy Spirit blow on those areas. God, the Holy Spirit, has the power to bring the change to your life, to my life, through the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such was the life of Jacob as we come to our text. And I want to speak today about the life-changing experience, the life-changing experience, which is conversion, the life-changing experience. I'm sure I do not need to remind you too much about the background of this passage or of the life of Jacob for that matter. Superficially, of course, not much has changed in the life of Jacob. He left Bathsheba for Paddan Aram, because he was afraid of his life. His brother Esau had reasons enough, according to his own light, to kill him. Now he's returning home, and Jacob is still threatened half death because of his brother. No less superficially, one might argue that much has changed. Jacob fled the tent of his parents, a single man, as we also read in this reading, taking almost nothing with him, While here he returns home, a rich married man with many children. But the deepest difference between the two journeys are reflected in Jacob's changed attitude towards God. In the first trip, Jacob took no initiative in matters divine, so he didn't really take pay attention to divine matters. He simply goes to sleep in Genesis 28 after he has seen the vision. It is God who intervenes with a remarkable vision of a ladder reaching up to heaven. When Jacob awakens, he acknowledges that what he experienced was some sort of visitation from God. Chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. But his response is to barter with God. He's only bartering with God. We can read those verses from verse 20, chapter 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a tenth." He was bartering with God. If God would bless me, if God will give, then I will serve him. I will give the tenth. Now it is rather different. True. God again takes the initiative. Jacob meets the angelic messengers. Chapter 32, verse 1 to 2. Jacob decides to act prudently. He sends some of his people ahead to announce to Esau, that his brother, that he is returning. For this, he gets a devastating news. Esau is coming to meet him, but with 400 men. Yes, he's coming with 400 men. That does not sound friendly. You don't come with 400 men only to say hi. This is not a welcoming committee. But indeed, Esau was coming. On the other hand, Jacob admits that matters are out of his control. He takes action and then prays, begging for help. He reminds God of his covenantal promises. He pleads his own unworthiness. He acknowledges how many undeserved blessings he has received. He confesses his own terror. Chapter 32, verse 9 to 12. And in the darkest hour, he wrestles with a strange manifestation of God himself. And that is chapter 32, from verse 22 to 30. 20 years or so have passed since Jacob outbound journey. Some people learn nothing in 20 years. Jacob has learned humility, tenacity, godly fear, reliance upon God's covenantal promise, and how to pray. By the time the sun rises, he might walk with a limp, but he's a stronger and a better man. Brothers and sisters, it is this meeting and experience that has brought such a change to the life of Jacob. Thus, we need or must come to this experience at some point in our Christian life. How this experience came to Jacob, and how this experience come to me and you. How it came to Jacob, but also how it comes to me and you. Well, in the first place, it is a personal experience. Jacob was left alone. It reminds us that even though we are always in a group, we should not forget our individuality. This experience isolates us from our families, friends, especially young people, but also mothers and fathers. We live mostly in communities. We live mostly in a group. We are close to our families, our extended families. When there's a funeral or a celebration of any kind in the family, we are always expected to attend. And this is still a practice in the township. In the black communities, if one hosts any of these events, there is sometimes no need to send an invitation beforehand. Yes, even if you host a wedding, if the celebration is done at home, be sure that everybody will attend from the community. There is no RSV, everybody must come. We are always surrounded by people. As a consequence, we are expected to do things like everybody. This is where the term like Ubuntu comes from. Motu ke motu ka batho ba bang, meaning that you are what you are because of others. Motu ke motu ka batho ba bang, you are what you are because of others. But when it comes to the gospel, it isolates us from all these people or from other people. Our Lord Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 10. Do not be supposed that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy will be the members of his household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This experience isolates us from our possessions and wealth. This is exactly true with Jacob. He was a very wealthy man, but that was not important for this life-changing meeting. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. His wealth counts to nothing here. The good example is the problems and maybe also sickness. When they come, they will always separate you from the group. The sick bed is a perfect example. Whether at home or hospital, God uses these things to remind us that we are individuals and that we should carry that individual responsibility. You will not stand with your friends or family before the throne of judgment. Please do not let them keep you from receiving this experience. Being raised in a Christian home or being around Christian all the time is not enough either, and it will never be. It is important. Yes, we need fellowship, we need togetherness, but the true conversion comes when we personally meet with the Lord, when we can truly, confidently, and boldly say, He is my Savior, Jesus and no one else. As we remember Christmas, I always say this maybe, that we teach the children that the name Jesus means Savior, but it is when the children would confess that He is my Savior, not just the Savior of the world. Yes, He came to save the world, but when we can truly boldly confess that Christ is my Savior. Brothers and sisters, I do not mean that we are not supposed to live with family or relatives, but these relationships should not bar us from this life-changing experience. Hence, like Jacob, this experience comes to us. God brings it to our lives while He has separated us from other people or other things. God is active in bringing this experience to us. Remember the example that I gave of the Mississippi River that was forced to flow in an opposite direction by the powerful winds. Yes, it is only the power of God through the Holy Spirit that it can bring change to our lives. Brothers and sisters, it is salvation, repentance. It's 100%, God is 100% active in this life-changing experience. Secondly, we have seen now, firstly, that this experience isolates us. But secondly, conversion is an experience which brings us to a personal relationship with God. It's an experience which brings us to a personal relationship with God. Perhaps we also touched on this in the first point. Jacob knew God, but he never had a personal relationship with him. He always believed that God is someone who just gives you blessing when you ask him. He's some kind of power out there, which we only ask when we need something. I've already mentioned that the deepest difference between the two journeys is reflected in Jacob's changed attitude towards God. Remember how I showed you that in the first trip, Jacob took no initiative of matters divine. He simply goes to sleep after the divine revelation of God in chapter 28. Jacob was the man who used to batter with God. If God would grant me security, safety, prosperity, and ultimately a happy return home, Jacob, for his part, will acknowledge God and offer him tithes. So it was someone who was battering with God. This was Jacob, as I showed you earlier. Even though he was the man of the promise, as Providence also showed, that Isaac blessed him instead of Esau, his brother. Brothers and sisters, Jacob's walk with God was not as it should be. Things needed to change. God, in the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, came to him. So Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. We'll come to that later. But the man who wrestled with him, we believe also is the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But we also do the same with our belief in God. We believe that God is there, and that is enough to pray when we need something from him. We sometimes pray as a routine or tradition, but there is no true relationship with God. Many people join the church because they believe that it will help them if there's a funeral, if there's marriage, to baptize children, maybe to have fun at times in the fellowship of the brothers. That is not the reason why, at times in our churches, I speak of where I come from, where Bible studies fail many times. If we believe that God is there, we should know him personally. We are born in Christian families, but at some point we have to come to this special meeting. Yes, some of us do not know the date and the time, but we know that we have acknowledged. We have to come to a point where we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You might not know the date and time when you came to the Lord, but you know and that Christ is your personal Savior. Conversion is an experience which brings us to a personal relationship with God. Thirdly, this experience is the most important thing in life. This experience is the most important thing in life. Jacob forgot about his possessions, even his family. He wrestled with this man. This man is said to be the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Indeed, he wrestled with God and overcome. Verse 20, 28 and verse 30. This is an amazing experience. The gospel is an amazing experience because it's all together the work of God. It was God who came to Jacob and not Jacob trying to find him. What makes a man a Christian? What makes man a Christian is because what God does to him. One commentator put it this way. He wrote, "A man does not become a Christian by making a decision. He is made a Christian by God, who had marked him out before the foundation of the world, and sees to it that he is born again and that he believes in him." We come to the gospel message with all sorts of expectation and ideas. But then God, through the Holy Spirit, reveals what is truly the gospel message. Brothers and sisters, the gospel revealed to us that the problem to which we give so much of our time and attention are not the real and vital problems or the ultimate important problems. Look at Jacob. He thought the problem is Esau, so he made plans to satisfy him, verse 13 to 20, especially verse 20. He could not think of anything else except his brother. The one thing he thought was most important was to save his life in this world and make peace with his brother. That is why he tries to appease him with all sorts of gifts. There are things we think we really need personally. One thing that you think that you need, that everything will be okay. Think of that one thing you think it's important to you, and that when you find it, everything will be well. This could be a job. This could be marriage. This could be a house, a position. This could be even children or wealth. Whatever it is. We also have things we deem bigger problems, but in real essence, they are not. I think I've said this before. We think of crime, unemployment, poverty, and so forth. We all know the political situation in our country, but let me submit to you that all these are not the ultimate problems. The gospel reveals the true problem. The real problem is that man is not right with God. We should realize that we are all sinful and that we need the gospel to make us right. We might not be engaged in crime or corruption as explained by the society, but our hearts are corrupt and we harbor every sort of sin. We also need the gospel. I've said this also before, that you take an example to how the government set all kinds of programs for offenders, people who go to jail, but realize that until people know Christ as their personal savior, it all comes to nothing. People will re-offend, relapse to all sorts of addictions if their hearts are not changed. And sadly, this is even Christians, so those who experience the power of the gospel in their lives, are sometimes fooled by this man-made initiative to try and change the behavior. Whereas we learn that righteousness, it is the result of the implanting work done only by the living God, the change of heart. The real problem to Jacob was not Esau. He thought as he thought, but his relationship with God. You see how he realized this when he wrestled with God. He forgot everything about Esau. He forgot about everything, but his thoughts were on this person that he was fighting with. Can you let go of everything and cling to Christ and his saving power? Fourthly and lastly, this experience is a life-changing experience. This experience is a life-changing experience. Jacob was a changed man as he limped from this encounter, verse 25 and also verse 31. His name was changed also. Jacob means someone who deceived. Genesis 25, verse 26. Genesis 27, verse 35, but now he will no longer be called that, he will now be called Israel. There are moments in his life that will always remind him of this experience. He had to walk with a limp the rest of his life, verse 31. This is what Jacob saw when he said to the angel of the Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. Everything did not matter, but only this one thing. He was to become the great grandfather of Christ. In Jacob, who is Israel, the Messiah was to be born. The Messiah who died for us, and through his death we have life and life everlasting. You can already see the message of Christmas Because yes, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's about Christ. And as we remember the coming of Christ, this is the message. As I come to closing, let me take you back again to what we said in the introduction. In fact, it was a quotation. 20 years or so have passed since Jacob outbound journey. Some people learn nothing in 20 years. Jacob has learned humility, tenacity, godly fear, reliance upon God's covenantal promises, and how to pray. By the time the sun rises, he might walk with a limp, but he is a stronger and a better man. This was Jacob's life-changing experience. He named the place Peniel, which means the face of God. Verse 30 reads, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life is spared. Brothers and sisters, we all have our areas in our lives that need a turnaround. It is only the powerful, sanctifying gust of the Holy Spirit that can change our hearts. He has the power to bring change to your life through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I find the words of this hymn true. We love singing this hymn also in Almapias. I find them true. Come thou fountain of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I am fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. He that to thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place. And I know thy hand will bring me safely home to thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prune to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prune to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Can you say the same this evening, my dear friend? May this be your Peniel, that you can see Christ and see him as your personal savior. Amen. assemble again in prayer. God, you are the fountain of our blessing. Lord, you are the one who came to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word that has reminded us of this life-changing experience. Lord, we thank you for all your mercies, all your grace that you have bestowed upon us. We pray, O Lord, that you can help us, that we might believe in you. Lord, that you, for our part, help us, O Lord, to receive only by faith, by grace, all that you have done for us. Indeed, we look at our lives and we realize that there are areas, O Lord, that need changing. Help us, O Lord, through the Holy Spirit, that our life can change and truly change, O Lord. Lord, we also pray that your message, as we have received it this evening, that you can help us, O Lord, to can search for the lost, that we can preach the gospel of Christ. We have thank you, O Lord, for the privilege that every Sunday twice we can listen to your word, listen to the gospel of Christ being preached to us. We pray, O Lord, that you can help us to use this message also during the week. Maybe some of us are going for holidays. Lord, we pray for those who have already gone and those who are still going, that you can keep us together, O Lord, as your church, and reminds us, O Lord, of your promises. We pray for the ministry of this congregation. Help, O Lord, the congregation to grow, not only in number, but also spiritually. Lord, there are so many who are lost here, and we pray, O Lord, that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you can guide us and help us to can reach for the lost. We thank you for the minister serving the church, also his family, Muruti Brusma. We thank you, Lord, that you can make him available, O Lord, to serve your congregation. We pray for the elder, for the eldership, the deacons. We pray for all the ministries of this congregation. Bless them, O Lord, in all that they do. We thank you, Lord, that we can also be part of the bond of churches. And we pray also for other churches, O Lord, where the gospel of Christ is preached. And we pray, O Lord, that you can be with them. Forgive all our sins. Restore us to you, O Lord, not unto us, but only to your name be honor, be glory. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. We now going to confess our faith as we sing from the Apostolic Creed. Let us stand together and sing from the Apostolic Creed to confess our faith. We are now going to take collection, but as our closing song, we will sing Psalm 118, Psalm 118, and there we sing verse 3 and 4 as our closing hymn. Let us take collection and thank the Lord with our gifts. receive the blessing from the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.